Thanksgiving is kind of an interesting holiday. We sometimes have difficulty trying to determine whether it's a secular holiday or whether it is a religious holiday. For those who would choose to identify it as a secular holiday, we know that it is dominated by three things: family, food, and football. And so every Thanksgiving Day, many families gather around a meal and after that retire to the living room where they watch football for the rest of the day, and the women complain about what they're doing and the men enjoy it. And we also know that it's a day that we generally stuff ourselves with much more than we really need to eat that day. Andy Rooney once said, you know, the two biggest section of books that are sold in Barnes & Noble are the cookbooks and the diet books. The cookbooks tell you how to make all of these wonderful and delicious meals, and the diet books tell you not to eat any of them. So we know that food's a major part of it. Orson Welles once said, and he was a big, huge man, for those of you that know Orson Welles, he said, my doctor told me to quit having those intimate dinners for four unless I invited three other people to join with me. We know that a California scientist has said that an average person eats during the course of a year about 16 times their weight. And an average horse only eats during the year about 8 times their weight. So I have discovered that the secret to losing weight is to eat like a horse. Thanksgiving also gave us another special food option. In 1953, the Swanson Company, having prepared many more turkeys than were available to be distributed, decided what are they going to do with all these turkeys before they go bad. And so they had an entrepreneur who came up with the idea that just slice these turkeys up into just small little portions and put them in a tinfoil type thing. And that was a development in 1953 of the TV dinner. Now, for those of us who spiritually see Thanksgiving as different than just a secular holiday, Thanksgiving is a time when it reminds us that we have been created by a God who loves us. He desires the very best for our life. And it reminds us of one of the basic characteristics of that Christian life, which is an attitude of gratitude. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, which is our scripture for today, he says to us, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. There are many circumstances where we grapple with the will of God. And we say, is it God's will that I choose this option or this option? Does God really want me to do this pathway or this pathway? What would God have me to do in these circumstances? And sometimes God's will is rather elusive and we try to figure out exactly what he wants us to be doing. But this is one of those areas where we know without a shadow of a doubt, this is God's will. Give thanks. It is God's will. You don't ever have to wonder about whether you should have an attitude of gratitude within your life, because God's word says to us, give thanks, for this is God's will for your life. Now, that is a very common understanding, and I think every person in this room would say, of course, we should be thankful people. We know that it is God's will. It's that second little phrase in there that gets us. It says, give thanks in all circumstances. That's the part that trips us up a little bit. And I know that you would say, well, of course, Pastor Bates, it would be easy for you to give thanks. Why, after all, you have a wonderful wife and wonderful children. You have a wonderful job. You have a wonderful friends and family. You have a wonderful church family that you deal with on a consistent basis. Your health is pretty good. Of course, you would give thanks. And that's true. That is absolutely true. I should be able to give thanks very easily. But even myself, I have gotten far more than I've ever deserved. Even myself, I find myself at times complaining about things and wanting more and concentrating on things I don't have. Now, I tell you, if I were God, I would be hitting me upside the head with a 2x4 any time that I had any kind of a complaint. And we often wonder, what would happen if I didn't have those things? Could I still give thanks? Earlier in this service today, I asked those of you who have had a tough year to be seated while we prayed specifically for you. And I know from knowing your stories that there are many of you that have had a very tough year. Some of you who have been laid off from your jobs or downsized and your income is not nearly what it used to be. Some of you who have lost loved ones of children and parents and spouses that you love very deeply and were a very integral part of your life and they're no longer available here in this earth. Some of you who have had physical situations, and we talked about just a moment ago George's situation, but there are many others of you that have gone through health problems that have been debilitating, they've been painful, they've been hard for you to deal with. And in the midst of this, can I still give thanks? That's what I want to talk to you about today. Because a heart of thanksgiving is not a byproduct of what we have. If that's the case, then we are to be most pitied. A heart of thanksgiving is a byproduct of our relationship with God. And during times when we have it good, we should be embarrassed not to give thanks for all the things that God has blessed us with. We should be a people of gratitude. But we should not be a people of gratitude just because of what we have, because it might be taken away from you. No one knows for sure what tomorrow holds. No one knows our financial future. No one knows our health. No one knows exactly what's going to happen to our friends and family members and whether or not they are going to be here next year. We just simply don't know. And if we only give thanks for the things that we have materially, we're missing the point of what God wants to say to us in His Word. The core of our thanksgiving must always reside in the things that cannot be taken away. And even when your material blessings are missing, you can still give thanks. Psalm 24:1 gives us the first one. We thank God for His world. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. God has given us an incredible place to live. And I don't mean just Pinellas County, although that's true as well. God has given us an incredible earth on which to live. If our world was just 10% bigger or 10% smaller, it could not survive. Our earth is tilted at 23 degrees in some minutes, and Gordon can give you the exact details on that. And if it were tilted just slightly different, we could not survive. If our world or our earth was considerably hotter or considerably colder, we could not survive. He has given us this earth, this world, at exactly the right temperature, at exactly the right tilt, at exactly the right distance from the sun, that we might survive. And not only that, it's not just a black and white world. He has given us technicolor. And when we look around about us and we see the earth in which we live, it is absolutely gorgeous and beautiful. Every time we take a breath, we don't thank Him for it, but every time we take a breath, oxygen fills our lungs, and as we exhale, that nitrogen helps our plants to grow. God even has provided for us animals, dogs and cats, where we can enjoy the pets and the animals and the people around about us. By the way, this is a little bit off the point, but let me ask you, do you have a dog theology or a cat theology? Is your theology dog-centered or cat-centered? Do you know what I mean by that? Okay, if you are a dog and you have the dog-centered theology, if a dog could talk, he would look up at me as his master and he would say, you know, thank you very much. He says, I realize that you provide for me all of the food that I need. I realize that you give me everything that I need for shelter. I realize that you love me. I realize that all I have to do is to roll over and let you scratch my belly once in a while, and you're just as happy as could be. You must be God. Now, a cat, on the other hand, if a cat could talk, he would look up at me and say, well, thank you very much, because you feed me all the things that I need, and you pet me, and you shelter me, and you love me. I want to thank you for that. but stay away from me. I must be God. Now, all the cat lovers are going to get on me, I know, after that. So we've just lost the cat lovers in the crowd. So is your theology like a dog, and where you say, all that I have and everything that I am, I owe to God, because he is who he is, and I am the one? Or is it more like a cat, excuse me, cat lovers, which says, I'm God, and you take care of me because that's your responsibility, and you should do it. And besides that, all of this is just a temporary place until heaven gets ready for us. If you think this place is nice, wait till you see the big house. It will be something to behold. The second thing that we can say is, not only we thank God for our world, but we thank God for his word. In Psalm 119 and verse 105, it says to us this, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Aren't you thankful that God just didn't create the world and drop us off here and say, well, guys, good luck. I hope you do well. He didn't do that. We know that life can be very tricky at times. It can be filled with landmines. There are some times we don't know where to go, what to do, how to do it. And he has given us a roadmap about how to get through this complicated experience called life. He's given us an instruction book. Can you imagine living life without an instruction book? And we call his instruction book the Word of God or the Bible. And as we go through the Bible, we understand the purpose of life, and he reveals to us why we are here and who he is and what he wants to do for us and how we can come into a relationship with him. Wouldn't it be sad if you were born into this life and you never knew why you were here? Wouldn't it be sad if you just simply put one foot after the other and one day after the other, and at the end of your life you say, vanity, vanity, all is vanity, all is meaningless. What does it mean? The Bible gives us instructions that allows us to know the purpose of why we ever here. Have you ever thanked God for giving you a purpose in life? There are times when we're worried, and we look at the instruction book, and it says to us in Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests unto God. It's an instruction book. How do we deal with, all of us deal with worry in our life? How do we deal with that? We go to the instruction book. And when we are fearful, we look at Psalm 91 and it says to us, be not afraid, for I have set my angels around you to guard you in all ways, lest you cast your foot against a stone. And when we go through those bitter disappointments in life, and I know if I would sit and talk with you one-on-one, we've all had disappointments in life. At least if you're old enough, we've had those. How do we deal with those issues? And we look at God's instruction book, and in Psalm 30, he says to us, weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. It gives us hope. And there are times when you are lonely, and I know some of you miss the spouses and the people that are around your life that have been taken away through death recently. And Hebrews says to you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The psalmist says, I am a friend that will stick closer than a brother. Whatever the circumstances of your life, good, bad, or whatever, God says, I have an instruction book that will help you navigate through the experiences of life. God's word has something to say about it as we assimilate it into our life. And the third thing is this. Thank God for his way. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, he says to us, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to what? To do good works. In order to live in a spirit of thanksgiving, you've got to be in the right relationship with God. You ultimately must find that he is the grand designer of your life and that we're built in such a way that we can only find ultimate peace and ultimate joy, ultimate satisfaction when we're in the right relationship with him. And when we're not in that right relationship with him, then life begins to fracture and the problems that we have begin to magnify. And the peace that we enjoy begins to be disturbed. And we have to come back to our roots, and our roots are found in Christ Jesus. It says that we are His workmanship, created what? In Christ Jesus. Without Jesus, I am a critical, complaining, and ungrateful person just looking out for my own. Who can be thankful for that? But He says that when we are in Christ, all things have passed away and all things have become new. What a difference it makes when we're in the right relationship with God. Because when we are in that right relationship with Him, when we know Jesus as our Savior, He lives with us. He gives us guidance day by day. This is what God's Word says about that way. It says that I am a child of God. You're in God's family. It says that I am the heir to all that He owns. It says that I am precious in His sight. It says that I have been forgiven of all my sins. It says that I have been led by His Holy Spirit. It says that I am more than a conqueror through Him who has loved us. It says that I am a new creation. It says that I have been created for good works. And therefore, the Bible tells me, I can cast all of my cares upon Him because He cares for me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And because of that, when I finally die, He has prepared an eternal place for me that where He is, there I may be also. Now I think I can be thankful over that, can't you? What a difference it makes when we understand who we are in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you a question. If you were a pilgrim in 1621, living in America, do you think you would be thankful? When you look back at the previous year of their life, they were uprooted from their home in Britain because they wanted religious freedom and they could not get it there under persecution. So they were uprooted. They had to leave basically everything that they owned. In fact, the trip was so dangerous that they had to sign a will, their last will and testament, before they would allow them onto the ships to take them to this new land because they knew most of them were not going to come back. On their way to this new land, they were blown off course, and instead of landing in Virginia, where there was a colony established, they wound up in Massachusetts, several hundred miles north of where they were headed, not knowing what had happened. When they got there, they were faced with hostile Indians, and as they began to try to eke out a living in the land, they planted their crops, most of which failed miserably. Within 3 months of their landing, 50% of the people in their party had died of scurvy and malnutrition. The next spring, they planted crops again. And in that fall of 1621, having left everything that they owned, having traveled halfway around the world, having seen half of the people that they loved being put into the ground, having understood that famine was almost a daily experience for them, do you know what they did? They got down on their knees and said, we're thankful. Father, we love You today. And sometimes it's embarrassing to know that we have been given so much, and yet we are not a thankful and grateful people. Help us, Father, not to focus in on what we have materially, possession-wise, but to focus in on those things that give true joy and happiness and significance. A relationship with God that is the center of our life. A relationship with others which we treat with respect and dignity. A thankfulness for the world that You have given us to live within. A thankfulness for Your Word. A thankfulness for the way of salvation that You have promised us. And we know that even as those early pilgrims had a limited amount of resources and a limited amount of possessions, they were thankful for Your world, they were thankful for Your Word, and they were thankful for Your way. Can we do any less? Amen. Would you stand?